Hi there, we're back. My name's Ben Riga. I'm Group Manager of Dynamics Evangelism at DPE and member of the Dynamics Duo. With me today is Girish Raja.
Hello, Dynamics Duo. My name is Girish Raja. I'm a technical evangelist for Dynamics CRM and the Developer and Platform Evangelism Group at Microsoft.
That's it. And so today we're going to talk about Dynamics, of course. That's what the Dynamics Duo do. But today we're going to specifically focus on self-service and how you can take advantage of some of the things that you build with Dynamics CRM and take that or push that out or pull information in from your customers or your partners or your citizens or whatever it is you're using your CRM system for. So typically when you think of CRM, you're thinking of behind the firewall stuff, right? So you know exactly how many end users you have. You have licenses for each one of them. When you talk about self-service, when you try to extend out onto the internet so that your customers can take advantage, it's a lot of stuff that you don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I know that we have a pretty cool demo, so why don't we launch into that, because I think that's a really good anchor point, and then we can talk about some of the different types of self-service using the demo. What do you think?
Yeah, sounds like a good plan.
All right.
Okay. So let's dive in and... So here's where the demo begins. So do you want to quickly talk about worldwide importers and what they do?
So Wide World Importers is one of those Microsoft fictitious companies. It's just a brand that we use just for fun. But essentially, it's an international conference and expo, right?
Okay.
So behind the scenes, so this is running in IE. It's in full screen mode in this case, but reality is that this is just running on the internet, and it's just a website on the internet. Two things here. One is that site is running on
Windows Azure.
Of course. Hosted in Windows Azure. Mm-hmm. And then all of the data coming from this site is actually hosted in?
There's a couple of sources. There is Dynamics CRM that's hosting a lot of information.
Okay.
And at some parts, we're using the SQL data services to store some of the relational information that we want to capture outside of CRM.
So we have no idea where this data is, right?
Exactly.
It's out in the cloud. Some of it's in CRM Online. Some of it's in Windows Azure. We don't know. And to be honest, we don't care. All we know is that it's running. It's running properly. Someone's taking care to make sure that the system's running properly. Yep. And someone is backing it up and all of that good stuff.
Yeah, as an end user, it's just a website that I go to.
Of course. As an end user, I don't care. I definitely don't care.
Okay.
So run me through this. So as a conference organizer, we have this conference that we're organizing. So it looks like just a standard website.
Mm-hmm.
There's a conference in LA, November 2009. So what is going on here? What are we seeing?
So this is a one-stop shop for an attendee that that will be attending these conferences, so they can do things like online registration, they can register for the sessions, you know, look at their attendee portal, and all sorts of activities around these conferences is managed in this one-stop portal. So why don't I go ahead and register for the conference or try to register for this conference and see what kind of...
Sounds like a plan. Okay.
So I'm going to click on online registration, and immediately I can see that it asks me to log into the site. In this case, this site is using Windows Live ID for authentication. So when I sign in, I'm going to be presented with this generic Windows Live ID login page. Now again, this is a private website. This is not a Microsoft website, but it can still use Windows Live ID for authentication.
So before you were on the wideworldimporters.com site, now we're on login.live.com. So
that
you're actually
correct.
Using login.live.com. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's log in and see what happens.
Sure. And again, as a developer or an ISV, I can customize this page if I want. So if I want to add a logo of the company and, you know, theme it so that it doesn't look like a completely different web page, I can absolutely do that.
Okay.
So I'm going to sign in to the conference site. And as soon as I sign in...
So you went from login.live and now you're back.
Yes.
But you're now signed in.
Yes.
And it's pulled in... I guess the first step of the registration page, which is the contact page, and the information. Now, is that information coming from live? .com, your live ID?
Now, I've attended the previous Worldwide Importers Conference. So what it is doing in this case, it's taking my Windows Live ID and sending it over to CRM Online, and it is checking to see if it has any existing information. So since I've attended this conference before, it's pulling all of the information back from my CRM Online system and populating it for me.
So you logged in with your Live ID, and then the system is using Live ID as sort of a cookie or whatever, and then going to CRM Online to pull information about you in.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's pretty cool. So if I hadn't registered at the site before, we wouldn't see this at all.
That is true.
It would be just blank. So what would happen now if we made changes here?
Okay.
Let's make some changes. Let's update your mobile number so that you get more crank calls at night.
Yeah, you can definitely call me at that number. Yeah.
Okay, all right, great. Okay, so now when you click next here, what's going to happen?
So what it's going to do is it's going to see what fields changed in this form, and then it's going to talk to the CRM Web Services, and it's going to make all of the updates back in my CRM backend.
Okay.
So all of the updated contact information is always available in my CRM backend.
So not only is it pulling information, and as a customer, or in this case an attendee of this conference, I'm seeing my contact information, but I can also update my contact information. So that's pretty neat. So as a conference organizer, I know that the contact information is always going to be up to date, and it's going to be probably pretty accurate because the end user is actually doing the data entry, and who better knows their own contact information than the actual attendee.
Absolutely, and CRM is really good at managing contacts, so if people are using Outlook to manage all of the contacts, this information is automatically available to them right away.
So Outlook, the CRM
Outlook
portion.
Client.
Got it. Okay, excellent. So when you click next here, that's going to get posted. And now we're on the third step, which is, so this is the conference registry. This is where we tell the conference what it is we want to do. So the conference registration is checked already.
Yep.
So this is interesting. So the first page was contact. That's contact information. Like you said, CRM is great at managing contact information. Here now we're looking at transactional type information, right?
That is true.
Right. Okay.
And CRM is a multi-currency, multilingual platform. So in this case, you know, if I'm holding a conference in the U.S., it's going to show me in U.S. dollars. But if I'm, you know, if I'm in Europe or in Asia, it's going to show the appropriate currency that is suitable for me.
Right.
And then again, it's going to also manage all sorts of, you know, relationship information about, you know, when I register for the conference, it knows that automatically I'm like 6 months ahead, so it's going to automatically pull in an early bird discount for me.
Okay.
And then it also gives me an additional options that I can choose if I want as part of the conference registration.
Okay. So are you a dancer, Girish?
Not really, but I'm going to give that a try. Okay. It doesn't hurt.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure your wife will appreciate that.
Yeah, sure. Right. Let me add her as well.
There you go. Yes. Okay, good. Okay. All right, so let's move on to next. So now, obviously, when you click next, the same way before it was pulling information, now it's actually going to post that into CRM, same way, right? So again, the end user is doing the data entry for you.
Absolutely, and think about a conference site or even like a Super Bowl game when the the ticketing just begins. You know, people can start registering and do all of this, and all of the numbers. So if I had like 10,000 seats or 5,000 seats, that number is updated immediately. So I have the latest and greatest information, back in my backend database.
Okay, sounds good. So we've done contact information, we've done conference information. So now we're into a different kind of data entry. In this case, it's flights.
That is true, because typically in a conference site, that's where your scenario ends. You put your contact information, you register for a conference, and you're done, and you go to a different website to book your flight, you go to a different website to book your hotel or rental car and things like that. In this case, what we really have is a unified portal where someone can go through these series of 8 steps and they'll be completely ready for the conference.
And of course, as a conference organizer, this is another source of revenue.
Absolutely.
Money's a good thing. I like money.
Yeah, okay. Doesn't hurt, yeah.
So how does this work now? So obviously, as a conference organizer, I don't know how to do flight bookings and all that stuff. How does this work?
So in this case, what it presents is it's a Silverlight control that's going to help me do the flight search. And what it is doing is it's talking to a web services in the back end by a company called ECGDS, which allows you to search for flight information, prices and booking, and you can do all of that through the web services. So just like how CRM has its web services, ECGDS publishes their own web services to do all of the flight querying.
Okay, so let's do that.
And again, if you notice, it's smart enough to know that when the conference begins and when the conference ends, mm-hmm. and it knows where my location is, so it'll find me the airports near to it. And again, if I want to change the date to say if I want to arrive early or if I want to arrive a day later, uh-huh. I can do all of that.
So as an attendee, mm-hmm. I don't really know what's going on behind the scenes, but I know as a technology guy, I know that this is pretty interesting because okay. as an attendee, I'm hitting one website, which is going to CRM Online, mm-hmm. but it's also now going out to this third-party mm-hmm. Website, EasyGDS, and sort of composing all of this on the fly, live, and pulling in information for me without my having to know any of that stuff. So it's kind of an interesting way to build, I guess, a next-generation website.
Absolutely. And in this case, if you look at it, it's like one company that is offering me all of these. But on behind the scenes, we have a network of companies that are pulling all of this information together to make the booking.
So EasyGDS is a global distribution system, I guess mm-hmm. it's called. So it's pulling in flights from Sabre and WorldSpan and all these other sites. And it's pulled in, wow, looks like hundreds of different flights from Seattle to L.A., which makes sense. So let's just choose one.
So I'm going to choose that.
So what is going on there when you click select? What happened there?
So what just happened was it took the information about the flight, my itinerary, my different legs, and posted all of that information back to my CRM system again. So mm-hmm. that when I open up my contact record in CRM, I have the complete picture of everything about my registration for this conference.
Okay.
So it's going to know what flight, and obviously we skipped through the hotel and car because it's pretty much the same experience that you would get. Uh-huh. But all of the information about my registration for this conference is going to be stored back in my CRM backend.
So it stored those different flights that we chose in mm-hmm. CRM Online as
Absolutely.
Well.
Yeah. So if you're calling customer service, the customer service representative is going to immediately know what flight you booked, when are you flying in. And so if you need to make any changes or any adjustments, you can easily do that.
So this is now the confirmation page. So now it's mm-hmm. gone through and it's showing me all the different things that we've just signed up for. Mm-hmm. The flight information, the flight details, and then the invoice details and so on for, mm-hmm. for my registration information.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So if I want to print this and keep a copy or email it to someone, this is a one summary page that I really need.
Okay. So what do I do with this? Now, as a conference attendee, I've got all the information. Is that where it ends?
There's a lot more to that.
Sure.
Because we are truly trying to manage the end-to-end experience for a conference attendee.
Uh-huh.
So it's not just about registration, but there are things that you could do from now on until the conference begins. And there's a lot of things that you could do while you're in the conferences in a website like these, because when you have like 5,000 people, you're not going to be able to meet each one of them and be able to have, like virtual meetings or any of that stuff. So what we have in this case is we have an attendee portal.
Okay.
That is built using Silverlight, and it's just going to bring in all the information that's relevant for me as an attendee of this conference.
So this is a Silverlight portal now,
mm-hmm.
and I think I'm seeing different modules of information.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So there's maps mm-hmm. of Copenhagen. I guess we should have fixed that to be LA. The weather for LA, I guess, and then a news portal. And there's the itinerary we just booked.
Yeah. So in this case, it's pulling again back from my CRM backend database where it has the updated itinerary information, and it's going to bring that back onto this portal.
So that's pretty interesting. So that's an interesting experience that you had there. So you clicked on that maximize, and it mm-hmm. maximized in an interesting way.
Mm-hmm.
It allowed me to then drill in and see more information.
That's true, and it did not close out the other web parts, if you will. And so it shows me a preview of what else is going on this attendee portal.
So if I go to the news page, for instance, I can see that's going to give me a similar experience. So that's pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. And again, all the news information is stored in your CRM system. So you update your news in one place, it gets published over to all of the different data sources.
So this would be the one page that the attendee needs to, if they want to come back and look at what's going on at the conference, or perhaps mm-hmm. even while they're at the conference, they want to come back and see what sessions they're going to look at next or what's the news for the conference, this would be that one page.
Yeah, absolutely, because you have information about schedule. Obviously, I haven't registered for any sessions yet, but like I said, this is the site they would use between the registration and the conference begins or even while they are in the conference.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then again, you have some social networking integrations, like if I have friends in my Windows Live networking or home.live.com.
Or Facebook. Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting. So we've seen what the conference attendee experience is like. Mm-hmm. Can we switch and see what the conference organizers' experience
absolutely.
Is like? Let's see what that looks like there. So all that information we just entered mm-hmm. was going to CRM, in this case, CRM Online.
Exactly. So okay. CRM Online serves as the backend store. And if I quickly refresh this, I think it's going to ask me to log in again.
Probably you timed out. We're talking too long.
Yeah.
So when we close that and refresh the entire page, yeah. I think.
That did it.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, good.
You're smart.
All right. So so somewhere we should see the Girish Raja.
Yep, there it is.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And again, this is a CRM Online site customized for the conference organizers. So you see things like...
So we've talked about this before. CRM is great for customer relationship management. So if you're mm-hmm. doing sales, service, and marketing, it's great for that.
Mm-hmm.
But here we've customized it to be not a CRM, a pure CRM system.
True.
But in this case, it's a conference organizer or conference web conference relationship management, I guess you could call it. It's still CRM.
It's still CRM, yeah.
Okay. Thanks. All right. So if we look at that contact mm-hmm. is pretty standard.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be a standard contact.
And
so
again, all of the information, my latest mobile number.
There's your mobile number that we entered. Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay.
And again, I have information about my hotel bookings, my flight bookings, and all of the sessions that I want to attend.
So let's look at that flight booking. So that's sort of an interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at what you... So that flight booking...
Mm-hmm.
So there's the ticket information, mm-hmm. and then you also have outbound and inbound flights
yep.
related to that. So if I click on one of those, will it bring up the record for that flight as well?
Absolutely. And if I have a flight with multiple segments, it's going to show me each of those segments. So if I have like three stops and if I'm traveling halfway around the world, it's going to know exactly what's going on.
So again, this kind of highlights that dynamic CRM, you can store pretty much any sort of information that you mm-hmm. could think of.
Yep.
If it's relational, you can store it in dynamic CRM.
Absolutely. And it all goes back to my contact record. So right from within my contact record, I can drill in and bring up all of this information.
Okay. So what other types of... There's the registration information, I guess, which would mm-hmm. be the how much we paid and all of that sort of information related
sure.
to that.
Sure. I'm just going to have all of the options that I choose with the, the cruise
the dance
and the discounts that I got and
right.
all of that information
right.
is being
right.
tracked.
Okay. Okay. So that... allows me as a conference organizer then to keep track of all of the attendees from the for the conference
mm-hmm.
to see what's going on, to do any analytics, and if one of the attendees calls my customer service number, we have all the information they entered, we can track all that and do all of the good stuff related to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So CRM is running in CRM Online in this case,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't really have to be, right? It could be running anywhere, right?
Yeah, as long as it's able to access to the internet, because we have a public website, as long as this public website can talk to your CRM instance, it could be in your own data center or it could be in a data center of a hosting partner. It can be literally anywhere.
So this is the IFD, internet-facing deployment of mm-hmm. CRM on-premise, dynamic CRM on-premises deployment, or partner-hosted. You mm-hmm. could certainly, there's hundreds of partners around the world that could host CRM for you
mm-hmm.
in a data center. Or in this case, we happen to use CRM Online because it was convenient, but it doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
The code that we wrote on the conference site doesn't care.
That's right? true.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the site that's running, the conference site, where is that running?
So now this could be running on any web server. So in this case, we are specifically running it on Windows Azure.
I like that. That's good. Azure is a good thing.
Yep. So what we are looking at right now is the Azure Services Developer Portal.
Okay. So hang on now. So initially we started, we were the attendee. So mm-hmm. we're playing the role of the attendee.
Mm-hmm.
Then we switched to conference organizer.
Yep.
But even a conference organizer probably wouldn't be going in the web, the Azure Developer Portal, right?
No,
so this would be system administrator or the developer or the VAR or SI that helped
the
that
guys who are watching this video.
Exactly, yeah. We want you to go and have a look at this.
Yeah.
Okay, so you switched over. This is the Azure Services Developer Portal. So what does this do exactly?
So this is a portal to manage all of my projects and my websites that I have running on the Azure services.
Uh-huh.
And again, this uses Windows Live ID. So I'm, in this case, I'm already logged in. So I see a summary of all the projects that I'm hosting, all the websites that I'm running that are part of the Azure services platforms. In this case, I only have one project for this easy conference. And as I drill into it, it's going to bring in all the details about the project, like what version number I am on, what's the end URL for this application, and a lot of details that I may need to make sure my website is up and running.
Okay. So what can we do with this? So I can see there's a production and a staging.
Mm-hmm.
So we can take advantage of that to sort of post changes and then deploy those once those have been tested and so on.
Yes, that's a good point, because it has a built-in staging environment. So when you deploy your project first, you're going to be deploying it to the staging environment. And you actually have an end URL where you can open it, test it, make sure everything runs fine. And then you just flip it over to production. And
you can swap
live.
Them, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it works the other way, too. If you have something in production, say, for example, have version 33 in production, and if I have an issue which is not present in the version 32 of it, I can swap back my production back with the staging so that I get the older version of website that is up and running right now. So it really gives me the option to manage and make sure my website is running 24/7 without any issues.
So this is pretty interesting. Can we see some of the configuration options here?
Sure. And configuration, you can either do that right within Visual Studio when you build the application or within this portal. So
in this case, the web role is showing it's gone now, but it was showing web role was started. One web role was started.
Yeah, let's take a look at that again. Yeah. So it says the web role is started, and it has one instances of web role running. So web role is nothing but an IIS web server. Think of it as just one box.
Okay.
I mean, and that's an oversimplification, but that's just one box that is running this website right now.
And of course, if I was a typical conference organizer, one website, it depends on the size of the conference, obviously. Mm-hmm. If I only have a couple hundred people coming to my conference, probably one website could handle it.
Sure.
But if I had 5,000 or 10,000 or 20,000 people coming to a conference, one web role wouldn't work.
That is true.
And so that's, I guess, where we were headed with the configuration.
Sure. And especially when you have a lot of fresh at the beginning of the registration, you're going to have you're going to need a lot of servers to back up the load that you're going to be getting. So in this case, if you want to bump it up to like 10 servers or 20 servers, all I have to do is make a change in this XML configuration. And once I make the changes, you know, I can save it, and then it's going to increase the number of servers. So it's going to dynamically fire up the servers, copy the application over, and then it's going to automatically manage the load balancing and all of
so
that.
So this is the equivalent of my web config, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so by making this one change in an XML file, I can actually increase instances. Or I guess if I was a conference organizer, once my conference is over, I probably don't need, let's say if I switch to 10 roles or 20 roles, obviously I'm going to have to pay for those.
That's true.
For the bandwidth and all of the CPU power and disk space and so on. But if I don't need those 10, I can bring it back down to one.
That's true.
Conference website's still running. It's not costing me as much, and it's still handling all of the load.
Yeah, so you're not putting any capital expenditures up front. You're just paying for the operating expenditures that are part of running the site.
Standard CapEx versus OpEx conversation that you're constantly having.
Absolutely.
As a website owner.
And even from a deployment perspective, I don't have to bring up another box, copy the application, maintain it, and do all of that. It's just increasing the number. It's going to take care of everything else for me. So it's a really easy deployment for web applications.
We have been talking for a long time.
I know.
I want to get into a lot of the details. I want to go into each one of those steps that we did on that conference website and see what was required from the developer's perspective to build those sorts of things. But I think what we should do is stop here.
Okay.
And then ask our folks that are having a look at this to come back for the next session of the Dynamics Duo, where we'll start drill into each one of these. We'll have a few different videos. We'll see at the end how many we end up with, but hopefully we'll have enough to keep you interested. And that'll be it for this one.